Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father and our God, how blessed we are yet to be in the land of the living. We're thankful that you've given us another opportunity to be more like Jesus. Give. Giving is godly. And Father, we pray that all those who are in this house of prayer, those who are yet under the sound of my voice, might first give themselves to you. For Lord, you love them. It was you who brought them into the world. It's you who have sustained them until this very hour. You provided for every need, and you know what they need even before they ask. Now, Lord, because you have given to us, we rejoice today knowing that we can share with others. Bless now this offering as it go forward, that we might be able to be a blessing to many. Thank you for what you've already done in us and through us, not only in the congregation, but as we meet those persons who have needs, and we have the ability and the grace to share with others. Help us to be more like Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. And they all said, amen. Father and our God, how blessed we are to be your children, and you are our Father. Father, we ask now that you would take these gifts and distribute them according to your will. Thank you for blessing us to be able to give. We bless those who are not able to give this day, that they might continue to trust you and believe you for all things. Once again, Lord, we rejoice, knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For in Jesus' name we pray, and the church said,
Amen. Amen.
See my way. You told me you put my trust in thee.
Lord, help me to hold out.
Oh, hold on. Not be easy. You didn't say it would be, but it got dark in my life. I couldn't see my way.
Lord, help me to hold out.
Help me to hold out.
Lord, help me to hold out.
Please help me, Lord.
Until my change.
Savior come.
Hallelujah. Lord, help me to hold out until my change comes. I believe my change is going to come. I just need to have the faith to hold out. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, choir. Have they not blessed us this day? God has blessed these men to sing his praises in this place. And how grateful I am to hear them sing. Could y'all hear them at the back? Amen. Y'all not walking with me. They're singing good and loud. And how we praise God that they lifted their voices in praise to God. So we say thank you to Mrs. LaFaye Duren for her leadership and blessings. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Bless now the preached word. We pray that the preached word would go forth and those who are lost will find their way. And those who are blind will see the work of Christ, the work of God through Christ. Thank you again for the privilege and opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. I know that I'm not worthy, but if you just say the word, I shall be made clean. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God said amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Or you may look in the bulletin at the 8 o'clock service. The question that I raise today is, do all things work together for good? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to the Romans and to the church at Rome. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For I am persuaded, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul writes this letter to the church at Rome. It is a church, it is a young church, it is a church that he has not visited, but he writes to assure them that things will be well. Even though they are going through some difficulties at the time, he wants them to know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. He writes them because he imagines that there may be some corruptions. It is a heartless city, Rome. Thinks of a city whose, I would ask you to think of a city where love is given a bad name, where relationships are intentionally self-centered, where lives are routinely destroyed. That was the quality of life that Paul writes to the church at Rome. But I thank God for his writing to the church at Rome to encourage those who profess the faith to be of good courage, that God would work every plan that he had planned for their lives. I thank God for the writing of Paul to the Romans, because it is in the writings of Paul to the Romans in Romans chapter 2, we find these words in verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. That God loves every person, every individual that he has created. It's good to know that Paul writes in Romans to tell us that all of us can be saved, that whosoever shall call on the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved. Paul writes to remind each one of us in Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul helps us to understand that in the writing to the church at Rome, he would have the Romans to know that God is a God of love. And so he writes to them in Romans chapter 8. He writes to them and tells them that even though we pray and we don't know what to pray for, that God, through the Holy Spirit, takes the prayers that we offer and the Holy Spirit interprets those prayers for us. So we can say to one another, the prayers that we pray, that they are not lost, that they are not lost, that they're not caught up in the cosmic, that they are taken to heaven. The question I raise is, do all things work together for good? The answer is an emphatic no. All things do not work together for good. The only way that we possibly can accept the proposition that all things work together for good is for us to take all of Paul's statement in this great text. Yes. A superficial world leaps at the first part of the statement in its eagerness to assure itself that everything that happens is for the best. Listen again, all things work together for good. We cannot stop there. Only a half truth is stated to this point. And in this case, the half truth gives an extremely false impression. The remainder of the text is to them that love God. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All things happen to all. Almost everything possible happened to Paul, the writer of our text. He was arrested. He was stoned. He was thrown into prison. He was flogged. He was hunted. He was shipwrecked. He was cast out of a city and left for dead. Yet in these things, he used them to strengthen his own character, to deepen his own faith, and to glorify Christ. When you look at Acts chapter 27, you will discover that Paul is on a ship headed to Rome. And on that ship, there are prisoners on their way to Rome. Paul is on his way to Rome to talk to Nero and to be at Nero's chopping block that he may lose his head for the cause of Christ. Well, the ship is on the sea and the sea is placid and calm, but all of a sudden there was a storm on the sea and the winds began to blow and the waves began to beat upon the ship. Paul had said to the captain of the ship, we should not sail, but they didn't listen to the preacher. They sailed into danger because they did not listen. And the Bible says that Paul, in the midst of the storm, he arose and said to the captain, be of good courage. We shall make it to Rome. For there stood by me an angel of the Lord and said to me, Paul, you will get to Rome and all that sail with you. Isn't it amazing that when things are going bad, God always sends an angel to tell us to be of good courage. We shall make the journey. When I look at this text and see that Paul had been shipwrecked, and see that Paul had been beaten and had been thrown into prison, he takes this text to remind us to strengthen our character, to deepen our faith, and to glorify Christ when we're going through the storms. Terrible things happened to Paul, but he loved God.
And through that love, he was able to make these disasters work out for good. All things happen to us all, laughter and fears, joy and sorrow, birth and death, health and sickness, success and failure. What these things do to us depend on what is in us. Loving God is the secret. When you're going through sickness and it looks like you can't get well, remember that God is on your side. Remember that God was working on your behalf. There are three words which I believe helps us to unfold, unpack the meaning of this text. It is the text that there is in this text an inclusive truth. Notice, the inspired text says, all things, meaning that there are no exceptions. This means that all sorrow, all pain, all tragedy, all disease, all experience, everything that happens to the children of men, both good and bad, works together for good to them that love God. The fact that God knows and that God knew us before the foundation of the world determines our fortune and determines our future. God called us to be his own and then glorified us in Christ. This means that God is on our side. If God is for us, who can be against us? Without hesitation, Paul makes the statement, all things work together for good to them that love God. Thank God that I'm in the all, that all things work together for those. Thank God that I'm in the those who love God. And no matter what the storm is, no matter how the rain falls, no matter how the wind blows, I know that God is working things out for my good. That he's working things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so not only is it inclusive, but it's exclusive. There's an exclusive truth. Paul makes it clear that all experiences is included when he says that all things work together for good to them that love God. A careful reading of the text shows that it is not only inclusive, but is exclusive. It excludes all who do not love God. Only those who love God find that all things work together for good. Look again at the text, and he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. If we are the people called by God, we know his purpose, and we love him in such a way that we take whatever comes and make it work for our good. We take whatever comes. Paul took his imprisonment in Philippi. He took that prison cell and turned it into a church. No matter where you are, you can have church. No matter where you are, you can call on the name of God. No matter where you are, you can pray. You don't have to pray long prayers. You don't have to pray loud. You can pray in the spirit, and God hears your spirit. He hears our uttering through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul and Silas are in prison. They are not guilty of anything but proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. Can I put a point here? When you preach Christ, you will find that you will find yourself in trouble. When you praise God, you will find that there are people who try to keep the praise down. But can I tell you something? I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him in season and out of season. I'm going to praise him wherever I go. And the reason why I'm going to praise him is because God has been good to me. Is there anybody here that the Lord has been good to you? Brought you. Took your feet out the muck and miry clay and placed it on a solid rock. Yeah. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell the world that I found a Savior, and he's sweet, I know. I may have shared with you that they told me when I went down to pray at City Council, they say, now, Reverend, when you pray, don't use the name of Jesus in the closing of your prayer. And guess what? I obeyed. I didn't use the name of Jesus, but I said, in the name of him who is a rock arises. In the name of him who is a rose of Sharon. In the name of him who is a lily of the valley. In the name of him who is a son of God. Thank you. Hey, somebody there said to me, you didn't call his name, but you sure told us about him. Can I help you here? Every now and then you may be shackled by your job and by your position, but there is a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. So my brothers who playing football now, yeah, you know what the man said about them, that we can't let the prisoners run the prison. Y'all read that, didn't you? You know they say that they can't kneel at the playing of the national anthem. But I tell you one thing, if I was one of them, I would kneel. It wouldn't be dishonoring the flag, but I would be kneeling, thanking God for the opportunity, thanking God for his goodness, thanking God for his mercy, thanking God for his love. You can flip every situation and make it work out for your good. Paul and Silas prayed in prison. They prayed so hard until the power of God was dismissed from heaven, and it shook the prison. And the Bible said that the prison doors opened, and there was a guard who stood and walked through the prison, saw that the doors were open, and the Bible said he took his sword to take his own life. But Paul said, look at here, you don't have to commit suicide. All you got to do is believe on the name of Jesus Christ. For we are all here. We have not escaped. We're all here. Prayer set us free. But we are free indeed by the name of Christ. For the truth shall make you free. The Bible said that the man said, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only shall you be saved, but your whole house shall be saved. What an event of evangelism that a man prayed and a man sung praises unto God. We talk about evangelism. We're talking about going out and knocking on doors and meeting people on the street corner. Can I tell you something? Pray. Pray. Pray and sing hymns unto God. And people will hear you praying, and they'll hear you singing, and they'll want to be a part of what God is doing in your life. Is there anybody here this life is a testimony of the goodness of God? Is there anybody here that you stood on your job and you were faithful to your position, and somebody watched you and asked you about it, and you told them, it's Christ in me. It's Christ in me that makes the difference. When I'm going through a storm, it's Christ in me that gives me courage to get through the storm. And so, my brothers and sisters, it is not only inclusive, but it's exclusive. If you don't know Christ, if you're not following him, you cannot expect for all things to work for your good. Finally, it is in the text that we see it is also conclusive. Not only is the truth inclusive, all things, and exclusive only for them that love God, but it's also conclusive. Paul does not say that we hope or trust or think or maybe or perhaps. He says without hesitation, we know. In truth, we are positive. We are sure. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you're going through, there are some things that we know. Some things that our faith has taught us. Our faith has taught us that God will make a way. We asked our forefathers, how did you get through slavery? And they'll tell you, we trust in God. In God, because we knew that God will make a way. We know that God will answer prayer. Somebody in this congregation was told that they had cancer. And the doctor said, it's pretty bad. We don't know what we can do. But you prayed and you talked to God. And the church prayed on your behalf. And now you're standing at the door as an usher. Or you're singing in the choir. Or you're working as a missionary. Because God brought you through that illness. And I don't know about you, but I believe that you are a living testimony of what God can do. We know that God will bless you. We know that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. We know that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We know that he shall be planted like a tree, planted by the rivers of water, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Is there anybody here that knows something about what God can do? Is there anybody here that knows something about God's plan for our lives? I tell you, we know that Christ is the Son of God, that he was born of the Virgin Mary. We know that Gabriel said his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Is there anybody sinner in this place that's been saved by the grace of God? I don't know what you know, and I don't know what you have done, but this thing I know, that I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Up from the waters lifted me. Now saved am I, when nothing else could help. Oh yeah, when nothing else could help. When my money couldn't help. When my prestige couldn't help. It was the love of God. I know that God loves me because the Bible tells me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life everlasting. I don't know what you know, but I know that on Friday he died. But on Sunday morning he got up from the grave with all power in his hands. I don't know what you know, but I know one thing. He caught a cloud and went to heaven. And one glad morning, when this life is over, he shall come back again. Is there anybody here looking for the coming of Jesus? I don't know about you, but I'm packing up. Oh, yeah. Getting ready to go. When you see me crying down here, I'm sending up my timber. When you hear me praying down here, Sister Olson, when you hear me singing down here, I'm sending up my timber. Even if the singing is off key, I'm still sending up my timber. Because all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and call according to his purpose. And what is his purpose? Is that none of us should be lost, but all of us should be saved. Thank God for what the Germans call Heilsgeschichte, salvation history. The history of Christ dying for your sins and for my sins. Now I guess it's time to holler now. God has been good. God has been good. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job said, I'm going to wait until my change comes. Thank God for the change that came when Christ gave his life. While we were yet sinners, Christ. Can I call his name again? Christ. Christ died for you and for me. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, all things do work for those who love the Lord. All things don't work for those who do not love the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're in that number. I'm glad I'm in the number. I'm glad I'm in that number that love the Lord. Well, John saw a number that no man could number. They say, who are these, Sister Crook? And guess what he said? These are they who have come through hard trials and tribulation. Wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God that all things do work together for folk like Crumb who love the Lord and call according to his purpose. That's it. Help me praise God with a hand clap. Help me praise him with a shout of hallelujah. Our deacons are coming. Inclusive, exclusive, and conclusive. We know. I like what that blind boy said. Whether he was a sinner or not, I know not. But this one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. The church is standing.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord. Completely, yes. My soul said yes. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Would you come? You come by letter, by Christian experience. But we invite you to come. Yes. You may be seated in the presence of our King as we address these two persons who have come. One comes, she was a watch care member, and now she comes for full membership. Brother Brown, if you just get her last name, we'll just transfer the paperwork. Deacon Brown, if you just get our last name, we'll transfer the paperwork. Second, we have a member who has come to move her membership status from that of watch care to full membership. What is your pleasure? All right, thank you. She's now a full-fledged member of the Second Baptist Church. Thank you. Deacon Brown, would you allow me to shake her hand? My sister, the body of Christ,
status in the life of Second Baptist, that means you can come to business meeting and you can vote.